Lots of headlines this morning about a landmark report which will be delivered to Cabinet and, sorry, the coalition meeters, I should say, tonight. They'll be discussing plans in relation to that. But that report on Ireland's energy security, stories this morning in several newspapers suggesting Ireland should develop substantial gas storage facilities to reduce the risks posed by any future disruptions in supply, publicly owned gas storage on land or a floating liquefied natural gas terminal are two options identified by the international consultants in the report as ways Ireland can shore up its energy security over the next 8 years. The publication of the report on the security of Ireland's energy supply up to 2030 comes against the backdrop of the crisis, of course, caused by Russia's war in the Ukraine. Coalition leaders will meet tonight to further discuss preparations for the budget, with help for businesses facing rising energy costs expected to be the focus of their discussions. Now, in advance of the meeting, Minister for the Environment Eamon Ryan will unveil the review of the security of energy supply of Ireland's electricity and natural gas system, which was carried out by Cambridge Economic Policy Associates. It considers potential risks to Ireland's natural gas and energy supplies and examines a range of measures to mitigate these risks. These include the need for additional capacity to import energy, the development of energy storage, fuel diversification and bringing renewable gases such as hydrogen on stream. The review will be subject to a period of public consultation until the end of next month, that's October, before recommendations are brought to government for approval. Options listed in the document include the development of a state-owned gas storage facility that could be filled from the gas network and used strategically, operating during periods in which there is a material risk of demand disruptions. And that's what every other country in Europe is doing right now. They all have better gas storage than we have. They spent the summer filling up that gas storage and they'll release that gas if there's a shortage and when there are shortages is to calm the prices during the winter and make sure that the lights will be kept on. Public comments from Minister Ryan in recent weeks suggest he's supportive of this proposal. However, the review also sets out other options, including the use of floating LNG terminals during times when there's a risk of disruption to supplies to Ireland. The government has not joined several other European countries in securing such floating terminals over the summer months. The Green Party have major concerns, and we've heard those on the programme, over the use of LNG because some producers use fracking to extract gas. Others in government, particularly in Fine Gael, believe the use of LNG should not be ruled out. Government policy is it would be inappropriate to allow for the development of any LNG terminals in Ireland to be permitted or proceeded with ahead of the outcome of the Energy Security Review. But that review now says, OK, there you go, that's the way to go. And with that in mind, I've got the Minister for the State at the Department of Office of Public Works, Patrick O'Donovan, with me on the line, who's in the Blasket Islands, or in the Blasket Islands this morning. Before we talk about that, Minister, that review, stories leaking in relation to it, a floating gas terminal is one of the options that should be considered to secure our energy security. You would be in favour of that, I'd imagine.
Well, I would, because, I mean, it's not today or yesterday I advocated for it. And I mean, this report on energy review and energy security isn't telling us anything that we don't know already, which is that we have a very vulnerable supply and that we need to redress it and we need to put in place something that will actually protect our needs into the future. My own view is that we need permanent storage. I mean, floating storage is, I don't know what the difference between floating storage and permanent storage on land is. I think permanent storage on land gives you a greater level of security into the future for when you might need it. It's really telling me nothing that I didn't know already. It's regrettable that we spent the last while waiting for this report, and here we are now in the middle of a war, and we've still nothing done with it. I mean, there probably isn't room for more room in this country for more than one facility. I mean, should the government have their own facility along with private facilities? They probably should, like we did this back in the 70s with oil. Now, I'm all in favour of renewables, but the reality is, Jerry, and you know it as well as I do, there are days in which the wind doesn't blow, like last Saturday. I mean, the wind turbines that I was looking out at the Mullacar out in West Limerick, none of them were turning. So, you know, until such time as we have a reliable source of renewables, the reality is that we need to look at something different and something different has to be gas storage.
But what's your response then to what the Minister for the Environment will most likely be saying? I know he was writing in the Sunday newspapers yesterday, Sunday Independent, in relation to this, that look, you know, government-owned state gas storage, fine. Privately owned LNG terminals, not fine.
But sure, that's like the saying, you know, I'll buy a Ford Fiesta, but I couldn't possibly buy a black one. It has to be a white one. I mean, that's a ridiculous kind of commentary, to be honest about it. Does it matter who builds it, as long as it's built in and our energy security is protected? You know, saying that it has to be public as opposed to private, sure, what difference does it make as long as the facility is in place and the lights don't go off? I presume that should be the overriding consideration, not who paid for it and not who built it.
But you don't subscribe then to what the Green Party are saying, and they're saying if it's government controlled, we have more control on where it comes from, that fracking won't be used.
Well, actually, a publicly sourced one or a privately sourced one doesn't dictate where the gas comes from. I mean, you can set out policies for private operators as much as you can for public ones, and we've seen that with electricity generation. So that's a kind of a red herring. And wherever the gas comes from, or wherever it doesn't come from, who builds it is irrelevant. I mean, even if it's publicly built, funded, it'll be privately built anyway, because the state doesn't have the capacity to build infrastructure of that scale. We'd be looking to the private market to build it anyway for us. So that's a bit of a red herring, to be honest about it.
Okay, Minister, the idea here in this review, and we'll know more when it is officially published, but they're talking about securing things over the next 8 years. So building fossil fuel infrastructure of some type, whether it's gas storage or fossil or floating terminals, that's going to have to be done, it looks like.
Yes, but you're sticking out a mile. Anyone that lives under a wind turbine, and I do, knows that there are days that they don't blow. Mm. Like, we're talking about offshore wind off the coast of North Kerry and the Shannon Estuary, and then it might come at some stage in the future. The reality is green hydrogen. I mean, I learned about green hydrogen 25 years ago when I was in UCC, and it's probably still another 25 years away. What are we doing in the meantime? Waiting for the days in which the gas or the wind hopefully blows. Like, last Saturday, almost 80% of our electricity needs came from a combination of between coal at Moneypint and gas in the fired stations that are around the country. Now, I'm not a climate denier, but I'm also a realist and I'm a pragmatist. And we need this infrastructure in order to maintain our country's growth, our population growth, our economic growth, and to keep the lights on. And it mightn't be desirable, but the reality is it's absolutely necessary. And if we don't do it, we're going to be in a serious situation. And this report proves that whether it's floating or whether it's on land, we need gas storage. We need gas storage as a basic fundamental now, in the same way as we need water, we need broadband, we need roads, we need sewerage, we need gas storage. Mm. I mean, being the only island member state of the European Union where our gas pipeline comes through a third country that is no longer a member of the European Union puts us at an awful risk. And the fact that we are the only ones that don't have gas storage, you know, to me is a suggestion, a kind of an irresponsible way to go forward, to be honest about it, and we need to address it. And it isn't about saying that I'm in favour of fossil fuel infrastructure. Like, at the moment, everybody in this country that's driving an electric car may as well have a bag of Sutton's coal inside in the boot of it, because it's connected directly into Moneypint. I mean, there's a lot of hypocrisy around the nature of what it is that we want to do in this country, and I'm all in favour of renewable energy. But I'm also in favour of renewable and reliable energy.
And being more practical about it. Okay, let me ask this question, and this is more to why we are where we are. Don Moore, the current chair of the Energy and Climate Action Committee of the Irish Academy of Engineering and former head of the ESB, said insufficient gas-fired generation in the system is a homegrown crisis. He said, I think it's important that people understand that we don't have one crisis, we actually have two. One crisis the public are very familiar with, and that's because high gas prices are feeding into very high electricity prices. That's a result of the war in the Ukraine. But there's another crisis, which is entirely homegrown, insufficient gas-fired generation in the system. The shortage was forecast by Ergood 5 years ago, yet we did nothing. Is that not a spectacular failure of our government, the last government and this one?
Yeah, well, I mean, if anyone could have predicted the level of economic growth and the level of population growth that we had, it's not that long ago when I went into the Dáil, people were leaving this country in their droves. And when we first went into government, anybody suggesting building a new power plant at a time when the economy was crashed and contracting would have said you're absolutely mad. The reality is that our population and our economic activity has grown exponentially over a very short period of time.
But did Ergood not say this would happen? This would happen. We need to plan for the future. This is what we need to do.
And action wasn't taken. And whether or not people can say they were taken by surprise, it doesn't matter. We now are in a situation where we have to build them, and we need to build them fast. And I mean, Germany has basically waived all of its planning criteria in order to put in LNG facilities and gas-fired terminals, where they will be putting in gas storage from countries other than Russia. And in the meantime, we're having a philosophical discussion around whether or not we should keep the lights on. I mean, to me, and I don't care what party people are members of, at least I have been consistent on this right from the very
start. So will your party leader be making that point to Eamon Ryan? Why aren't we moving at a rate of knots to get ready for this? In the same way
as myself and Brendan Griffin have been making this point at our parliamentary party meetings at umpteen occasions, we'll be doing it again on Wednesday night. And like this report now gives, I think, it gives independent voice and independent verification to what it is that we have been saying for a long number of years. I think it's 2013 was probably the first conversation I may have had with Radio Kerry in relation to LNG 9 years ago. Now, in the interim, it kind of fell off the radar. It is very much back on the radar now because of the manner in which our energy needs have been exasperated by a war, an illegal war in Ukraine. Be that as it may, and I'm fully in favour of building a greater level of renewable energy in this country, I'm also a realist and I'm also a pragmatist and I'm also very honest in my appraisal of this as someone who went to college and studied this thing. We are in a very dangerous situation in this country in the short term, and if we don't deal with it and deal with it fast, it's only going to get worse.
Okay. Minister, you're in the baskets. You're assessing things. There's talks of improving the landing area. Is that what's happening today?
Well, I'm actually probably in the most idyllic part, and I know County Kerry has a lot of idyllic parts, but I'm probably in the most idyllic. I mean, I'm just at the pier in Dunqueen about to go out on Blascade Moor, and it is unbelievable the view that I'm looking out at here now, Jerry. You're probably kicking yourself that you're not down here with me. But I'm going out to see the current landing arrangements. I've been out there many, many times, a good few years ago, but like we have, I suppose, just the public works have ultimate responsibility for the looking after the island, and you know, in the same way as we do it with the Skelligs. And I am anxious to try and see what can be done in the short, medium, and long term to improve safety and improve the visitor experience around Blascade Moor. That's something very important to me, and that's why I'm down here today.
Will we see a new pier being developed, perhaps? On photos,
there was planning permission there before, and it lapsed. Kerry County Council had planning permission for it, and I know that the Chief Executive, Myra Morell, and my own chairman are very anxious to try and see what can be done. So, this is something that we're going to keep driving ahead with. We have to try and do something. Now, obviously, how that's going to be engineered and designed is something that will obviously come out of the wash. But there is a major master plan currently underway for the Blaskets. And I would hope that this would feed into that the whole situation with regard to landing and embarkation is something that is very important to me. I know it's very important to other members of the government as well. And we're anxious to see what, if anything, can be done in the short term.
Okay. All right, Minister Patrick O'Donovan, that's where we'll leave it. We'll take it from there. That's Minister Patrick O'Donovan there of the OPW on his way to the Blaskett Islands to assess the landing situation there.